Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents, to the Impactful Parents Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their real stories of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from our guest speaker, Aaron Weindke. And Aaron's going to talk to us about divorce and a father's perspective on going through divorce. This is such an important topic. I hope you listen today. Thank you for being here, Aaron. You have four daughters, but I also know from talking to you before this that you have gone through a divorce. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, family dynamics change. You know, it hurts the kids no matter whether it's amicable or not. It's a painful transition for mm-hmm. every single family. But do you have any tips or advice that you can give the audience for somebody, for a dad out there who might be listening, who's going through a divorce and is trying to minimize the negative impact that it might be having on his family?
Yeah, what a great question. And not an easy topic, so my best to address it. The first thing when we were going down that path was to put the kids in counseling because I feel like that's very important that they understand it's not their fault and that they're not the reason that the two adults are going their separate ways. And we do everything we can to reassure them. You know, as I reflect back on that period of going through that separation and where I am today, I actually think I became a better dad, which is sad to say, is because I feel like we get so much in life and we're just in the routine. You know, I get up, I go to work, I come home, rush around with kids to everything, and just never take time to appreciate all the little things. And then once I got separated and I had time by myself versus time with the kids, boy, that time with the kids meant more to me. I feel like I had better conversation. I was more engaged with the children. Not that I wasn't before. My kids actually loved me and we did and continue to do tons of fun things, but it just changed.
My audience knows I'm a single mom of four kids. I have met plenty of single dads now. And I hear that same message that you're saying, that once they got divorced, they became better fathers because I feel like they appreciated that time with their kids so much more. It became not something they took for granted anymore, but it became intentional, which is beautiful. It's really great that something good can come out of something that's not so great, right? Nobody wants to go through a divorce.
Yeah, I think there's two sides to what you just said. It's intentional from the dad to the child. But the flip side is also intentional from the child to the dad, where there's an opportunity for the children to communicate with me. And when I went through that, I had one child who didn't want to talk about anything. We would just write letters back and forth, and that was our way to communicate, which was perfectly fine. And there was another child who would just pull me aside, and we would just sit in a room and talk to each other about how we were feeling and what was going on. And what I found to help me through that time, and I think to help my kids through that time, was to be vulnerable and tell them that I am feeling sad and this is why I'm feeling sad and how important they are to me in my life. And they're going to remain an important aspect of my life. I don't know if I did it right or wrong. I did the best I could. And I think that's the thing for us to all remember as parents is we're doing the best we can off the information we have today. And so I think it's important as a parent to give yourself a break when you need a break. It's so easy to beat yourself up. And I talk to people about this. You're beating yourself up for so many things you're not doing versus valuing the things you are doing. So make sure you take time to appreciate the things you are doing because you're doing way more right than what you think you're doing wrong.
Yeah. And it's never too late. Once you find out new information and you find out that maybe you are doing something not so great as a parent, it's never too late to change and say, apologize to your kids and say, I didn't know, I'm going to do better from here moving forward. And I think that brings a lot of integrity to you and is such a great role modeling to your children. I love it. So did anything change about your parenting style after you got a divorce?
I think it leveled the playing field more. And I felt like we became closer with our communication and more open to plans and goals and dreams for them individually and me individually. So I feel like we had, as a result of it, more meaningful conversations, which, as I think it brought it closer together as a family.
Do your daughters see that? Because sometimes it does take a while for kids to accept the separation of their parents, and they can become very bitter and very mean, honestly, to the parents while they're going through such pain in their heart. I don't know if you experienced that with any of your daughters, and I don't know how long it's been since you've gotten a divorce, but can you speak to any of that?
Yeah, I think the challenge is, and it's so hard and it's so delicate, is what each parent is saying to the child when they talk about the other spouse. Because when we have those conversation, the ex is not in the room to have that conversation or know what was said. And so what is heard by one child may not be heard by the other child, and they may assume something. And so I think it's so important on how we talk about us as parents, and we're consistent with that message. We may have differences personally, but we're on the same playing field. Our goal is to raise the best kids possible. And if we can agree on that, then let's focus on that, and we can deal with our differences separately. But the importance is spending that quality time with them and being consistent with how I talk about their mother with respect. Now, the challenge is sometimes as parents, we get weak and we have emotional breakdowns, and we may say stuff about the person who we were once with that we probably shouldn't say, but we said it. And, you know, sometimes the kids can see the flaws that might've been covered up before in the marriage become more obvious when you're not together. And that's a challenge for everybody. And sometimes, because I've had the kids say to me, well, I understand why you did this because of this, this, and this, which I say, well, that's not necessarily true in its entirety, but there's little things that start to surface for everybody that they see. I feel like the veil comes down and you can kind of see mom and dad for the good and bad more easily than when we were together.
I think that if I could give a person going through divorce, whether they're a dad or a mom, any like best piece of advice, what's your one tip for me? That would be my message, that under all circumstances, no matter how bad things get, to try your very hardest not to say negative things about their parent, because kids love their parent. That's their mom or their dad. They love them. And it doesn't matter how much at fault they might be or all the bad things they may have done. Kids love their parents. I mean, even kids that are neglected and abused love their parents. That's how it is. And so every time the other parent speaks badly toward somebody that they love, it's very confusing for the child. It's so much more heart aching. It's such a hard thing to do. It's such an easy thing for me to say here, well, don't talk bad about the other person, but it's so hard when you're going through a divorce because you are human too. And you got a lot of feelings going through your body. And like you said, sometimes it just slips out. So my second piece of advice to those people who are listening right now going through a similar situation, if it slips out, give yourself some grace, go back to your child and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And you admit that your fault. And then you tell them why you said it. I am hurt right now. I am going through a lot too. And it's through my emotions. I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm so sorry I said it. You know, you can even say that you didn't mean it, whether you did or not. But even going back to your child and having that conversation and admitting your faults could be really, really helpful for your child if you're in this particular situation. Have you had to deal with your spouse remarrying or a boyfriend or anything like that in that capacity?
A little bit. I have since remarried. She has not. And again, my concern is just the well-being of the kids.
Yeah, because that brings up a whole new dynamic when you start bringing new people in. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on that? Do you have tips for a parent that is in that kind of situation?
Yeah, it's challenging because to what you just said, there's nobody that can replace the spouse, the mom or the dad, regardless of how much, you know, you love this new person. They can't replace them. And it really... in my experience, it just takes time to build that relationship. know, the challenge is where that person's coming from. Is that, are they from a separated relationship? And how is that? Because there's just so many dynamics that come into play. But it goes back to if the focus is the children, and I think that's something you've got to be transparent on when you're going into that next relationship is, hey, I'm happy to spend time with you, but I understand that these kids are my priority for this period of time. I'm going to take care of myself, but this is really my time. And if you expect me to leave and just go on weeks and weeks of vacations with you, as great as that would be, that's just not possible at this stage of my life. So I think the open communication is essential to go through that. But yeah, there's no playbook on how that's going to work out. One of the things that I tried to do going through that was just one-on-one time with people, one-on-one time to get to know them and for them to get to know me to work through this all together. It's not easy.
How did your daughters accept or not accept your new spouse when they were being introduced?
They had a million questions. It was funny. I can still picture the day they met where they kind of like divided and conquer. They took her daughter one direction and they took her a different direction. I'm left by myself because they had so many questions and were interested and they wanted to find out all this information because they knew if this person's important enough for dad to bring her around, then she must be pretty special. And so they just wanted to experience and see what that was. And I think a big thing is when you introduce that person, what their perspective is. You know, if they come in and say, oh, I'm your new mom and I'm in charge, that's not going to go over well in my experience. If they come in and I feel like my wife to the children now is more like a big sister / stepmom, which I'm not sure if that's 100% correct, but they have fun together and they do a lot of fun things together versus her sitting there telling them what to do, how to do things like a mom may choose to do. So just a little different relationship, but those are things you have to talk about up front. Is how we're going to approach this. What's your approach going to be versus mine? How are we going to work together? There's just a lot to talk about to hopefully have the best outcome possible.
Yes, Aaron, that's exactly it. Those points are perfect. I'm going to reiterate what you just said so people can hear it. Talk to the person that you're trying to bring into your family and really get their viewpoint on where they want to stand inside your family dynamic because they are entering something really foreign to them. You don't know until you're in it what things are really going to be like to have that open communication with your new love. In addition to have that open communication with your kids. And it sounds like you had that, Aaron, with your daughters, which is awesome. It's really great.
Yeah. And a question I would ask, what was it like growing up? What were my parents like? Ask that person you're going to introduce about their childhood. Because as you said earlier, our default is how we were raised. And whether it was our parents, a grandparent, a coach, or a teacher, things that they said and did to us have made us who we are today. So find out what has happened in this person's life, what their childhood was like, because that's going to be their default on how they're going to choose to parent.
Yes, exactly. And what I have found with the children is you really want to ask them also what they want this person to act like in their role in their life. I think a mistake that a lot of parents make is saying, hey, I love this new person. They're going to come in. And there's not that conversation with their kids. And for my kids personally, my kids don't want another parent. They don't like it when someone comes into the home and tries to act like a mom or a dad. They're very open to somebody coming in and taking care of their mom or their dad, whether it's my ex-husband or me, somebody who's going to be there for us. My kids want their parents to have a partner. They're not opposed to that. What they are opposed to is someone coming in and trying to replace the other parent or coming in and trying to tell them what to do. Like they just have too many other people in their life who are doing that. I guess they don't want another one. I can't say I blame them. But to know that before you bring this person in and then to be able to have that conversation with your new love and say, look, this is where my kids are coming from. And I want them to accept you. And I want them to love you the way that, you know, with the max capacity they can. And because I want that to happen, I don't want you to mess up. And let me tell you where they're coming from. To have that conversation can be really powerful and just put you on that right road to success that so many parents overlook. We just get so excited. We found somebody else. You're just so happy to be back in love again. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, I could speak from personal experience. Like, you're just so happy. I think a lot of times we're so excited. We get rushed as parents and we don't consider our kids and their perspectives with enough intention. And it's too bad. But if you're listening to this, again, this is all about learning from other people's mistakes so you don't make them their own. So that's why I'm talking about it. Do you have any other suggestions for our parents like that?
You just hit the nail on the head. That was fantastic. And I should be taking notes. The thing is, it's just like your relationship with your significant other. You have to check in and have date nights. We've got to do the same thing with our kids, because even though you're around each other every day, you see each other day, over time, you can separate and you don't realize at what point did I go wrong or we get off the track or our relationship. And especially when you're introducing somebody new, you have to have a lot of check-ins. And there's got to be a lot of conversation, and it's easy to skip those. But to your point, those are extremely important to have those conversations with everybody. And maybe it's a family discussion in addition to one-on-one discussions. You got to determine what's right for you and your situation.
Even bringing grandparents in, I think, is okay. You know, probably at a distance, but still to get them involved into the conversation. So everyone's on the same page and your kids aren't hearing conflicting viewpoints and things like that, I think are good. Do you have any regrets from your divorce or what you might have done that you just hope that somebody would learn from you?
I can honestly say I don't.
That's good.
And the reason being is because I feel like I personally did everything humanly possible to prevent the divorce from happening. And that would be my piece of advice for people. When you think you've done everything, go back and try again. Go back and try something different, because it's not a fun process to go through. And I wish that on nobody. You know, my parents have been married over 50 years. Both my brothers have been married over 20 years. I didn't want to go down this path, but I did. And I live with that and I'm okay with that. But it's nice to know I can look in the mirror and say, I feel like I personally tried everything to make this work, even though my guess is she would disagree with that. But I feel like I did everything. So no, I don't have any regrets. I wish it didn't happen for the children. And I hate to see that happen to any marriage. And I think it would be tough to live with that regret, thinking, boy, I wish I would have, or I could have done this. And so I think it's important you individually have to work that out yourself to be able to look in the mirror at the end of the day and put your head on the pillow. Did I do everything I could to try to make this work? And where are we off track? What happened that got us off track? Is there a way to get us back on track? And too often we don't go back to what that root cause is. We're dealing with all the results of everything that happened versus, well, what's the root cause of that? And it's easy to do that when you can point blames at everything. And what I've, in talking to other people, it's, well, she does this, she does this, he does this, he does this. You kind of lump it all together. Well, when you have this big ball, it's impossible to overcome. So how can we break it into smaller parts? Let's just take one step in this one area and say, we'll deal with all these other ones later on, but let's just talk about this one area and see if we can find some common ground to move forward on. It's not easy to do. It's really not easy to do. And the challenge is both people have to show up willing to do that type of work. And oftentimes when you're having these conversations, not everybody's willing to have that conversation. They are too hurt, too scarred, too damaged, and they just want to make you feel the way they feel, which is unfortunate, but there are ways to work through that. And you've got to do the work individually on yourself. And if you're going to choose to stay together, you've got to do that work together, because there's got to be a lot of healing and forgiving to make that happen.
I completely agree that there's usually, not always, but usually one of the two parents that says, I'm not working on this relationship anymore. Like, this is, I'm done. They want to play the blame game. And like you said, exactly like what you said, let me make you hurt how I hurt, because you need to feel this pain. It's very unfortunate. But if you have a spouse that's not going to work with you, and the next step of that would be to get your divorce, do you have any suggestions for how you would talk to your kids about that situation? Even how did you tell your daughters that this was happening to your relationship, to your family?
Yeah, that was a tough conversation. I think a lot of it depends on the age of your children? Because my youngest at the time said, well, what are we going to do for Christmas? What are we going to do for Easter? You know, they just think of the traditions that you've built as a family. Are those going to continue? You know, when they're super young, oh, I get two Christmases now. That's really exciting. But after you get through that, again, if it was teenagers, a lot of things to talk about on how that's going to play out. And you really have to tie into their emotions, which is really hard to do. You know, often I equate it to, you know, if we're thinking about, if somebody's thinking about divorce, usually there's one person who's this far down the road and there's somebody who's right here. And this person has played out a lot of stuff emotionally that this person hasn't played out yet. Well, when you introduce your kids, your kids probably think everything's fine unless they see mom and dad verbally arguing 24/7. Most parents are going to hide that to some degree from their children. So they may be caught off guard. So that could mean both parents are down here and your kids are like right here. And they have no idea that anything's wrong. They don't see it. When you tell friends or family, like, really, what's going on? I don't see it. I haven't experienced that. And so there's usually a significant emotional gap between the parents and the kids. And you can't speed up that gap to close that gap. You have to be patient and show up with open ears to listen, to let them process this, however they're going to process it over whatever period of time it's going to take them to process it.
I think it's important that you acknowledge that some kids will be relieved that their parents are getting a divorce because they're in a very toxic environment where they're hearing all the pain and the yelling and the disagreement, and they don't want to be a part of it anymore. And then there's that flip side, the parents that are very amicable in front of their children, and then the divorce becomes a huge surprise. And now your kids are like, what? How? Where did this come from? Why is my life going to be flipped upside down when there's not a problem? Because you never showed them that there was a problem. And I'm not saying show your kids there's a problem. I'm just saying that from a child's perspective, a lot of kids are coming from that. And to be able to give your child or children the space and the grace to process what they're going to be going through in order to, as you said, bridge that gap between where they're at and where their parents are trying to tell them that the relationship actually is. Because they're being blindsided. And to remember that as a parent, that your child might be being blindsided because you hit it so well, which is good. I'm glad you hit it so well for your kids. We don't want our kids to see that kind of, you know, sad battling, but to understand that when you make that decision and you're telling them, we're getting a divorce, there's going to be a huge gap there.
Yeah, and something I just like to touch on, especially for younger people who may watch this, is how did you see your parents argue? Because that's what your default is. And if one of your parents gave the silent treatment for an hour or 2 hours or a day or a week, that may be your default response when you get an argument.
And your kids' default response.
Exactly. And then you're surprised when your kids won't talk to you. Well, that's what you do when you do it. So, you know, I talked to my daughters about this, and I think this stuff's important, is when you're at that point where you're going to get remarried or you're going to marry somebody for the first time, how are we going to argue? What are the rules for our arguments on how we're going to communicate with each other? Because if we both shut down, that means nothing's getting resolved and we're internalizing everything and we're going to make this a lot bigger than it needs to. We're going to have some rules of engagement on how we're going to communicate in these difficult times, because we are going to be setting the expectations and example for our children that they're going to learn from us. And to what you said earlier, they see and observe everything that you're doing, and how you argue is a big thing that they're paying attention to.
Rules of engagement. That's going to be the new quote of today. I love that. Rules of engagement. How are we going to talk to each other? Such a great conversation, not only to have with your children, but also with your spouse that you're getting a divorce with, like how we're going to have these rules of engagement moving forward in our new dynamic. And then again, with the new love interest that is trying to come into your family, how are we going to have these rules of engagement and rules of engagement with your kids too, with that person and them? It's such a great conversation. Not an easy one, but one that could, if you have it, it's going to cause you a lot less heartache in the long run. So do that, parents. Definitely do that. So my next question, Aaron, is that these are really difficult conversations for us to have with our kids So how do you initiate these conversations?
They are difficult conversations. What I've found is when I'm one-on-one with somebody, if we're eye to eye, that can be challenging for some people and me as well. And so one of the things that works well for me is we'll go for a walk where we're side by side versus face to face. And I find that it relaxes us both and we can have more open dialogue. You know, I used to joke about people when I go in a restaurant and they're sitting side by side. I never understood why people sat side by side. Well, it turns out you can have some really difficult conversations sitting beside each other, as well as just it feels great to be next to the person. You know, the same thing is in the car. And if the child's in the front seat or the back seat, doesn't matter. You can have some really good conversations in the car where we're not 100% focused on each other, but we are focused on each other and we can just listen to each other and create space. And as parents, it's so easy for us to want to give advice on everything when we're talking to our kids. I would encourage you to say, tell me more. Tell me more.
Yes.
How does that make you feel? Tell me more. And have them really feel comfortable expressing all their feelings. Because oftentimes they'll say, well, Dad, I didn't like it. And this happened at school. And I could say, well, you should have done this instead. Or why didn't you do this? Or I'll call the teacher. Well, tell me more about that. What did that make you feel? What else could you have done? How could we handle that differently? And that can be around any different topics. But asking that, probing more to find out more. And what that does is open the door to give them permission to share more. And what the long-term implications of that is they'll come to you and volunteer information to you, which as a parent, that's exactly what I want to have. I want to have open lines of communication with everybody. It doesn't always happen, but with some kids, you'll probably have better luck than others.
Especially with teenagers, I find that the side-by-side conversation is a lot more effective and impactful than the front-to-front. And keep in mind, parents, that when you're facing someone, it's a lot more intimidating than a side-by-side conversation. And a side-by-side conversation also leads to a touch. So if your child's love language is physical touch, being able to hold their hand or put your hand on their shoulder or give them a little side hug during a conversation that's really difficult, like divorce, could be very comforting for them without being too invasive. So great suggestions. I love it. If anybody out there just resonates with you and wants to know more about what you do and how you can help them, how could they get a hold of you?
I started a coaching business in 2020 to help other adults, parent coaches, business owners. And so they can reach me at purposeandwisdomcoaches.com or email me directly at aw@purposeandwisdom.com.
Thank you for being on today, Aaron. I really appreciate your perspective and expertise. Parents, if you have an inspiring story that you want to share on The Impactful Parents so that we can learn from you, please go to The Impactful Parents website at theimpactfulparent.com. Go to the Work With Me tab and go to the bottom where you can sign up, because we do want to learn from you too. But until next time, you got this, parents. We're just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.